There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Dominic Patton.
And I'm Pete Hammond.
And this is the final Deadline Podcast TV talk of this Emmy season. We're taking it right to the limit, right up to the end of voting.
Yes, we are. So why not? We're going to be discussing the Emmys and going out on a limb saying what will win and what we think should win. So we're going to separate it in that way, but we're going to make these predictions. And if we lose, sue us.
And by the way, if you sue us, we will write about you suing us because it will get us a huge amount of traffic, both for the podcast.
You do have to realize that Dominic there is also our legal eagle reporter here. So
and we could turn that lawsuit into only lawsuits on the website, the podcast.
also going to hear a snippet of my conversation with the creator of Dope Sick. One of these nominees we'll be talking about here. But I think we're going to start with comedy series. We need a few laughs here, Dominic. So, all right, what's going to win? What's going to win best comedy series?
Well, here's the thing. This is no laughing matter. It's going to be Abbott Elementary.
Whoa.
And it should be Abbott Elementary.
Okay, it's a
I will say earlier in the season, both in phase one and what now we were talking about, I was kind of flying the flag for network TV, which honestly is not a position I come to naturally. But this has to be the one. It has to be.
Well, the critics would agree with you. It won. It swept. I shouldn't say it just won. It swept the Television Critics Association Awards in the last few days. Winning four, I mean, they pretty much gave it everything they could give it. I think a little overkill because there's a lot of good comedy here. But it also is winning in other groups. You can see the momentum going. It does seem to be, this is the only network, broadcast network series in any of the three major categories we're talking about here today, drama series, comedy series, and limited series. That's pretty remarkable that it's come down to that. It's holding the flag, and there may be a kind of oddly a sympathy vote for the networks here.
I think so. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't. I think you've got a lot of heavy hitters here. Only Murders in the Building. Of course, the reigning champ right now, Ted Lasso. Hell, maybe you could even see some Barry. But I just think the fact is Abbott Elementary, it does what all great comedies aspire to do. A, it's really funny. But B, it's funny. It's funny both in an evergreen and in an incredibly germane way to the times we live in. And I think as you watch this and the quality of the cast, the quality of everything else, it has proven itself to just be the one. It's just the one this year.
All right. Well, here's my thing. I look at it as a numbers game in a lot of ways. And if you get the indication here that the Emmys have given Ted Lasso, their great darling of last year, 20 nominations, that means big support across the entire Academy there. And also Hacks, which I think is a terrific show, 17 nominations. In terms of the newcomers, Only Murders in the Building, way ahead of Abbott Elementary with 17 nominations. That seems to me there is more support on these levels. And then with Barry, by the way, which is beloved in the industry, has been out of the game the last 2 years, not eligible, is back in a big way with 14 nominations. I wouldn't discount that, except a lot of people that vote in comedy say, oh, but is that a comedy or it's so dark?
Well, I mean, but I would say this, Peter, referencing your quip earlier about me also leading our legal charge here at Deadline. Emmys, like juries, only need that one special vote to get you off. And that's where I think Abbott Elementary have really has this, because it has lightning in a bottle. And, you know, yes, Ted Lasso, no one's going to argue. They came back strong. They, in many other years, this would just be a, you know, please recycle the trophy. But right. In this particular case, I think that you just have to say, look, you, other people might have bigger numbers, but we have the energy. We have the cultural imperative. And that wins.
It looks like it. You know what? It's momentum. You know what I've said over and over and over? All these award races come down to momentum when the ballots are out. And the ballots are going out tomorrow, Friday. They're going out and the voting begins. And so actually the voting's been going on. I shouldn't say they're just going out. They went out last Friday. The ballots continue and they end on Monday. So you know what? This may be right at the right time for Abbott Elementary. I had picked Ted Lasso because I thought, oh, they'll repeat with that 20 nominations. Now I'm thinking Ted Lasso and Hacks may both pull from each other.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
how very Alaska voting system of you, my friend. you're right. When you talk about this in terms of the math of it, the fact of the matter is the way the first choice, second choice, that whole system works, there is a sort of way at which there's a tipping point at which the numbers simply fall in a way that there's a kind of inevitability about this.
There just may be an Abbott Elementary lane here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not guaranteeing that in the end, this is what I'm going to pick. But for our purposes today, I'm going to say that right during this voting period, Abbott Elementary's got the momentum. So we'll say it's a will win. Should win? Oh, my God. Curb your enthusiasm, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
11 years of brilliant, brilliant Larry David comedy. It's never won. I am sorry. I know it doesn't have a chance in the world. It's got even fewer nominations.
Mr. Hammond. Larry David is, to pick up on what you just said, he is well within my dark humor lane. But let me tell you.
Larry David
will live on just fine, and his bank account will continue to flourish without this Emmy.
Cry no tears
for Larry David, my friend.
All right, now let me get this over quickly for you. Lead actress in a comedy series will go and should go again to Jean Smart in Hacks, a brilliant creation by a brilliant actress. I just don't see her losing this year to any of these other nominees, including Abbott's, quadruple threat, Quinta Brunson, who's nominated here, along with Rachel Brosnahan, who's won before Katie Cuoco. She's not going to win. Elle Fanning won't win here, but she's very good in The Great. And Issa Rae, who's been overlooked and will be continued to be overlooked, sadly, for Insecure. I just don't think she's going to get it.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you know that Peter and I we don't agree often, but we do agree. When we do agree, we agree.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree that Jean Smart will win this. However, in the interest of at least drilling a little bit more out of this category before we move on, who do you think could be the dark? Who do you think could be the surprise runner up here?
I don't see it.
Your thing that people can cancel each other out.
They can. In this category, I don't see it. I don't think there's a surprise. I can't give you one.
All right. Interesting.
I don't think there's a surprise runner up here.
Interesting.
Look, it's the last season of Insecure. It's a terrific show. She's great. Love Issa Rae. But I think her time has come to win the Emmy. It's not happening here.
For this role. I think, let's be clear, Issa is building an empire, and that empire will strike back at some point.
Oh, definitely, and she deserves it, but it's not going to happen here. This is Jean Smart.
Okay. Lead actor, now here's where it gets interesting, because sometimes friends have to stab each other in the back. At least only murders in the building.
Okay, so we have Steve Martin and Martin Short from
Martin
Only
Short.
Murders.
Martin Short.
Okay, Bill Hader, who's won it. He's won it twice. Short. The only two times he won it, both times.
Nope.
Donald Glover's won this. Or he won something.
I actually think that part of the issue here with Donald Glover, who that penultimate season of Atlanta is amazing, and the new season's coming up very, very soon. I think like Barry, there's sometimes this confusion with Atlanta. Like, is it a comedy? Because right. It transcends genre in its brilliance. But yeah. I think Murder in the Building, which I am not the world's biggest fan of, by the way, but this is this second
season. Who from
Murder? I know. Sacrilege all around, trust me.
Okay, is it Steve or is it Marty?
Marty.
Oh, I wouldn't argue with that. I think he's like just a genius. And so,
I think
they cancel each other out.
Oh, okay. Really? So who comes?
I don't see Jason Sudeikis repeating. He won last year. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I see it going to Bill Hader in Barry, who has been off for 2 years, is considered a genius, and I just see that there's a lot of Emmy history here that will be repeated. He will come back and win it. And who should win it? I'm going to agree with you, Marty Short, for a magnificent career. He's just amazing, and he can take on almost anything, and I would go with him.
All right, so moving our focus along, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're keeping a running tally of this, and you can write to us as you do and tell us how we were wrong on every level.
Yes.
Let us move into the drama category.
All right.
I unfortunately have to kind of plead a middle ground here. At this junction, I cannot tell you whether or not I think it is going to be Succession or Squid Game. And I think, based on the huge acclaim and success, of which I agree with 100%, of their series finale just recently, I think there's a very good chance Better Call Saul could split the odds and take this.
Oh, wow. I was thinking that myself, because it has this tremendous advantage here during voting of having its finale, which isn't eligible, folks.
Next year.
Emmy. It's next year. You have another shot at Better Call Saul next year. But do voters think that way? I don't think they do. I think they think they're watching the finale and they're voting right now. And so I agree with you. This, if Better Call Saul pulls this out, and it's never won, but if it pulls it out, it's because of this brilliant strategy of the way they've unveiled the final season, split it in half, and done it. And so I would not be shocked to see Better Call Saul. I would not be stunned to see Succession, of course, because Succession has 25 more nominations than anything. You go by the statistics here, it is with this show to continue its run, no matter what happens to it in other categories. Squid Game, I will mention where I think it's going to win, but I don't think it's going to win in this category. I don't think Ozark's going to take it in its final season either. Euphoria, I do not see winning at all here.
Yellow Jackets are going to clean up nicely when it comes to actress category. No
Again,
doubt about that.
I will give my Yellow Jackets Emmy in a moment, but not in this category. You have not mentioned one that I think is percolating as a real dark horse here.
Severance.
And once again,
I feel you, but I do not
could
see
be
my
the
friend.
Upset the apple cart like it did at the Oscars. It's upset
hold on.
The apple
was that,
cart.
Hold on, was that apple cart reference a pun based on the platform?
I'm telling you, I wrote about this in my column notes on a season on deadline.com. Last Friday, I did a thing about our contenders event, how we had to ask this question. What other show, this was for interstitial programming, it wasn't part of the actual pieces. What other show would you have wanted to work on this season, be a part of, that you aren't a part of? And oh my God, answer after answer in the eight panels that I did was this show. I mean, I sat there, you know, gobsmacked. It was Severance. And I realized there is an undercurrent for this show right off the bat in season one in the industry.
I will tell, I mean, like, they are definitely, I'm not saying entirely, but you pointed this out to me a number of years ago, and I always hold it as the gold standard of award season campaigning. They're definitely pulling more than a few pages from the Ben Affleck book of campaigning. They are, They're not quite showing up for the opening of every fridge, but they're pretty close.
You know, yes. And I think if there's an upset to be had, a darker, I'm not saying I'm predicting it. I'm not saying it will win. I'm saying look out for this one here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go safe bet. I want to make the money at the track here. So I'm going to go with Succession to win. And in terms of what should win, my God, you know, Better Call Saul, I'll fall for this thing with the finale and everything happening now. Give it to them now. You never know what's going to happen next year, but they deserve it. Yeah. This happened, by the way, with its precursor series, Breaking Bad. It didn't win in this category until near the end of its run. When it started, it won in the acting categories, but not in this category until the end when it started appearing on Netflix, from reruns and things. So
same thing. We saw a lot of that with Mad Men. There's a distinct AMC strategy here that you have to give them credit for. They've stuck to it over the decades and it works. And I think it could work here, but this is a three-way fight. This is Succession. This is a Squid Game. And somebody, only one survivor will there be.
Okay, now lead actress in a drama series. I just teased this, but I am predicting Melanie Lynskey in Yellow Jackets. I think her time has finally come. Her first Emmy nomination, folks. Yeah. Has there been a more reliable performer year in and year out in so many different things? I think the fellow actors who are the ones voting here will recognize that. And this series will find an Emmy in its first year in this category.
I hate to sound like we're moving along for the sake of brevity, because it's a podcast. We can talk all day. Totally agree. I just think we should move on to Best Actor, because we've got this one.
Okay. All right. Sadly, Sandra Oh, who's been nominated 13 times and with no wins, deserves to get this. Laura Linney has not won for Ozark, but she's got four Emmys at home. Jodie Comer won. I think her time has come and gone in that category. And Reese Witherspoon, I personally love. You know, that is my guilty pleasure, The Morning Show. She's not going to win here. And Zendaya won before. This is her second chance. We don't know if this love is still there in that way for her, but I have a feeling Melanie is going to sneak in. Okay, lead actor in a drama series.
Well, my heart and head goes with Squid Game's Lee Jung-jae.
I think he's going to win.
I think he was, the show is a global phenomenon, breaking barriers literally and figuratively. The fact that it got this far along, no Squid Game joke references, but the fact that it got this far along in the Emmy process, if some of you may or may not remember, I was very dubious about TV Academy members, how they would vote for this, because I thought some of the violence would turn them off. I, as my Game of Thrones past predictions should have told me, was incorrect. Turns out TV Academy members, not so hot on groundbreaking shows like Reservation Dogs, but they love the blood and guts. maybe that's just the sign of the times. I do think, though, that Lee Jung-jae, who is a superstar in South Korea, has now become a global superstar. And I think that this is his time. And I will also say he joined us, as did other members of the cast, for our Contenders events, both of them this year, Contenders TV. And the man just reeked of winner.
He does. I talked to him and did a behind the
lens. Yeah, it was great. You're behind the lens, right?
And there he had directed, and had a movie that he directed and starred in called Hunt, that just picked up by Magnolia Pictures. And he did a great job there. His time has come. This will be the big win here for Squid Game in this category. But who should win? Well, I think Adam Scott's very good in Severance, by the way, really good, and surprised me here. But I really believe that poor Bob Odenkirk has to get an Emmy sometime for this role that he started on Breaking Bad and now has taken to new heights here, and evolved it so brilliantly that if he doesn't get it this year,
he's getting it next year.
Please give
it this year. Breaking Bad will have a very good chance at drama, I think, as we've laid out before. And Ray Sehorn will have it, like it. That's happened. We're not really going to get too much into supporting, but Ray, you got this.
Ray Sehorn, please. Ray Sehorn, yes, absolutely. Yes. She's just brilliant.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, now we're going to move on to limited series. It's got a lot of prestigious nominees here, and it is a tough one to call because you have the White Lotus with 20 nominations. You have the highly critically acclaimed Dope Sick with the 14 nominations. Then you have Pam and Tommy with 10, Inventing Anna only with 3, and The Dropout only with 6. What say you for who's going to win this?
Dope Sick. And I'm not saying that because you're talking to Danny Strong later. I think Dope Sick, which has pretty much cleaned up, moving forward and forward and forward in this, with award after award, acclaim after acclaim, has now become, a sense, part of the political culture insofar as the battle against the opiate crisis and the horrors that is inflicted upon America, especially the heartland. I just think it may be in another year. White Lotus is, I mean, there's a lot of indicators towards White Lotus. I'm not too sure I'd want to pick up a compass and not walk in its direction, but I do feel like this is, Dope Sick has, as we mentioned earlier, it has a lot of nominations, has Michael Keaton in it, has a lot of that, right? But it has the momentum. And momentum is its own force of gravity.
Yeah. Well, I have predicted in our awards line digital issue where I made predictions that Dope Sick would win. But I pointed out in doing that I wish they could give it to both White Lotus and Dope Sick. They're two very different kinds of shows, but they're thrown into this category together. And Dope Sick would be the more traditional kind of winner, something that's taking on a hot issue and really making a difference there. The White Lotus is a bunch of self-possessed tourists or, you know, vacationers at a very swank hotel in Hawaii. It's a bit different, but it's freaking brilliant. Mike White, writer, director, that show. I was just riveted by The White Lotus. And with 20 nominations, I think it's got a real shot. However, 8 of those 20 are all in the supporting categories of limited series where I think it'll win.
Oh, yeah. The numbers make it. It wins.
And for Murray Bartlett, I do think they reward it there. And I think possibly in writing or directing, Mike White will probably emerge. In the end, probably more voters might check off Dope Sick here. It's very close. And I know, having interviewed a number of people, and I've got Danny Strong coming up, but I know, having talked to some people off camera, they are nervous about White Lotus, and they know this is close. So this is the toughest call for me right now. I could keep changing my mind. I'll stick with what I've already said, Dope Sick, but watch out for White Lotus. And I would say what should win there, they should both win. I said this in my copy. I'm sorry for copying out here, but
I do think, I will say this, look, in elections and in marriages, you only get to make one choice. Unless you decide to vote again or divorce, but that's another year. I think in these cases, you know, I would not have had a problem many years ago at the Oscars if La La Land and Moonlight had both won. I think there are times when you just have to say, I'm sorry, you can't put someone ahead even by a hair here. There is a lot of talent, there's a lot of skill, there's a dexterity. Maybe they both deserve it. I mean, is there anything in the rules say they can't?
No, and they could tie. A tie is a tie. So there's that. Let's look at lead actor in a limited series. This one, I don't think there's a question here. It's Michael Keaton in Dope Sick.
He had to play
three different levels of this one character. A more straight guy here, investigating all of this, who then becomes addicted himself and then goes on.
I mean, he is the small town doctor who becomes, he becomes his own patient in a sense.
Exactly. And you know,
it's Michael.
I think he's
great. There's a momentum here leading up to this in lesser awards. His time is right.
He's won all the things. This is one where I'd be very surprised if he lost. And there's some terrific people nominated against him. Colin Firth is great in The Staircase. Oscar Isaac.
If you haven't seen Under the Banner of Heaven,
Andrew Garfield, the only nomination for that, though.
Under the Banner of Heaven is amazing television. Sebastian Stan, Sebastian Stan's a very talented actor.
He's great. He's great as Tommy Lee.
Playing Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, who, by the way, is still alive and could,
And Haimish Patel is great in Station 11,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
So they're all good.
This is Michael Keaton's. You can't take this away from him. And what a career. I mean, this point, Michael Keaton has been left for dead like more times you can imagine. And the guy, he finds new ways. It's not like a resurrection. It's like he reimagines himself. It's amazing.
Never forget when, a lot of people said, it's going to be Michael Keaton for best actor at the Oscars for Birdman, which was an amazing performance and things. But I knew Eddie Redmayne would win. I watched how that campaign went down and the way it was going to go and that role. But I think Michael Keaton was going to win because there was a shot of him in the audience when Cate Blanchett says, and the winner is Eddie Redmayne. And then it went on to Michael Keaton in the audience pulling out his speech and tearing it up a little bit, or putting it back in his pocket. It was a little sad moment. He won't have to do that this year at the Emmys.
Michael Keaton is only writing one Emmy speech.
Lead actress is Amanda Seyfried with Lily James coming on the outside, I think.
Which is a nice way of saying this category belongs to Hulu.
This definitely belongs to Hulu. Amanda, of course, playing Elizabeth Holmes, the controversial inventor of Theranos.
Not inventor, to be honest.
She was. She went from sensation to disgrace. And actually, how ironic it would be for Amanda to be up there accepting an Emmy as about the same time Elizabeth Holmes is in court getting sentenced to prison.
Having been found guilty. I know. That is a split screen I would live for, my friend. But, I will say this, too. Pam and Tommy is problematic in many ways, but certainly Lily James's performance as Pamela Anderson is a stunning work of not just talent, but also physical dexterity and transformation. There are a lot of very heavy hitters here. Julia Garner, Sarah Paulson, Toni Collette, Margaret Qualley. I mean, this is a very, very, very strong category. It's hype. Too often people will go hyperbolic and you say, everyone in this category deserves to win it. This is the case in this one. This really is. There's no one who's here sort of like as the sympathy vote. But Amanda, this is hers. It has to be. It has to be.
I would say so, except watching somebody just inhabit somebody you know so well, like Pam Anderson. This could be the Emmy that Pamela Anderson will never win. It will take Lily James to give her her due in this kind of forum. And I think that would be highly ironic if that happened. So I would say it is Amanda's, but look out for Lily James. And a little shout out here, because I really was impressed, as I always am, by Sarah Paulson. And in playing Linda Tripp, she gave her all there. The show wasn't as well received as she is the first to say. She was shocked to get this nomination. I wasn't. Talk about a transformation there. Actors recognize that kind of thing here. It's really interesting to see that all of these nominees, Julia Garner, Lily James, Sarah Paulson, Amanda Seyfried, and even Margaret Qualley in Maid. It's based on the experiences of the writer, even though it's fictionalized name and everything. They're all playing real people. It pays to play real people in this game. So that's where we are with the wills and the shoulds and all of this whole Emmy thing. It's up to you guys out there to pick your own and see if you agree with us or don't agree with us. It's there. We've been talking about limited series here, and I had the opportunity here to talk to Danny Strong, who wrote and directed some and created Dope Sick. He's an Emmy winner for Game Change and Recount, nominated and all kinds of movies in the past based on real events and real situations, as is Dope Sick. And so I want you to listen to part of my conversation with Danny Strong.
You know, when you take on a project like this, that is so, in my opinion, those people are so reprehensible. And, you know, the pharma company here is just, why do you want to live with that? And do you think about that? Because this is a big project and this is going to take a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a deep dive into that. But it's also, to me, activism on the highest plane where you can have a big impact as the power of the writer here.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely part of the goal. There are two goals, right? First is to create a fantastic piece of entertainment, you know, a show that people are going to be riveted by.
You got to want to watch it.
You got to want to watch it first. You know, the activism comes second.
Yeah.
But it's there. And in this case, and it's not there with every project, but in this case, when I had started researching this in 2018, the Sackler family had essentially gotten away with it.
Yeah.
And their deceptive practices, they were continuing them overseas internationally using the same lies that they used here in the U.S. to market and sell OxyContin. And so I viewed it as a warning to other countries that Purdue Pharma is coming to addict your country and to lie to you and tell you that a highly addictive drug is not addictive, but also as a way to give them the trial that they never got. I thought, because the crimes were so outrageous to me, and they've been documented in a number of books. So there had been so much information already out there, but that information wasn't seeping through into the popular culture, even though there was terrific books written about it, right? Yeah. And so I thought, I think I can construct this show in a really dynamic way in which we can see their crimes. We can follow investigators putting a case together and prosecutors against them and intercut it with their victims and what they have done. And not only could that be, I think, a very compelling piece of drama, but a very damning indictment of what they did. And so that trial was a big part of my personal motivation for the show. And then there was also the fact that there's medication that's extremely effective for opioid use disorder, which is Suboxone, buprenorphine. And it's so stigmatized in many communities all over the country. And I read a statistic that 17% of the people that need it get it. And I thought that is so sad. It's literally like saying 17% of the people that need chemotherapy get it, right? So I thought the show could also maybe really help to destigmatize one of the best medications for helping someone overcome this disorder. And the disorder, it's a shocking disorder when you get into what it does to people and how it hijacks their brain. And it made me look at addiction in a completely different light. I always viewed it as a moral weakness or someone that was a burnout that just wanted to get high. Instead, in the case of opioid use disorder, it's not a moral weakness. Their brain has been hijacked, and they think if they don't get it, they are in so much pain, they think they're gonna die. Yeah. And that's what the term dope sick means. That's what being dope sick is. And in so many cases, these people that have become addicted to opioids, that their life has been completely taken over. Some people have referred to it as, you know, zombification, that they become almost zombies in a way because they're so enslaved to this medication, to this drug. And that so many of these people started on this path because they had a simple injury and a doctor prescribed it to them. And that you could get addicted in 3 days.
It's so easy to get addicted.
3 days you can get addicted to. 2 weeks, a month.
Yeah.
You could be extremely addicted after 6 weeks
right.
of what you think is a medication.
Well, again, Pete and I are very strong about Danny Strong and about his show Dope Sick doing well at the Emmys on September 12th. I mean, look, the man's career has a depth and scope, which is amazing. But this, I think, is where all of his talents have worked towards a story like this. It'd be very interesting to see how this really goes down at the Emmys. Again, coming up on September 12th, NBC. Of course, that is a Monday this year because NBC do not want to give up any of their NFL football on a Sunday. So things will be a little different. But until then, we want to thank all of you for joining us over this season of TV Talk. We've really enjoyed it. Once again, we have been amazed by the response and feedback you guys have given us, the industry has given us, and we really appreciate it all. We are humbled by you listening. And the fact of the matter is, this year looks like Peter and I agree more than we disagree. So this might be a very unique season for TV Talk. If you haven't already, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you'll never miss any of the episodes. You can go back and check out old ones. And of course, you know, we're going to be back sometime.
Yes, and of course, you can find all of our TV breaking news coverage and our coverage of the actual winners when they open those envelopes, as Dominic says, on September 12th, and actually the week before in the creative arts categories over Labor Day weekend, over two nights there. We're going to be Emmys all the time coming up, folks. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Talk to you soon.